We have a website and a YouTube channel. So there's a few different ways that we make money. The YouTube channel, you just make money from YouTube ads. So also you can just have AdSense ads. We've done some sponsored content as well. So if we're just talking about a general like sleep concept, we can say, hey, this was sponsored by this one company. We'll make money just through like affiliate relationships. So we will recommend certain mattresses. And if someone like clicks on one of our links, that'll be tracked and you can make money that way as well.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. As always, I'm bringing you guys awesome guests. And today I have Mr. Joe Auer on the podcast today to kind of talk about his journey into building out some really interesting websites and how he's monetizing them. We'll dive into all that throughout this episode. But first, Joe, welcome to the podcast, man. How are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So to kind of kick this thing off, let's set the stage. Let's rewind it however many years you feel is appropriate here and give us some insight into how you even got started on this journey.
Sure. So I actually have an accounting degree and actually became a CPA for three years out of college. I was an auditor for one of the big accounting firms in Charlotte, North Carolina. After a couple of years, just kind of realized that wasn't my path. I just wanted to try something very different. I didn't really know too much about the internet or side hustles or really anything at the time. I just know that I wanted to try something different. My best friend's older brother was this kind of charismatic internet entrepreneur, crazy type person. I was visiting my friend and that guy happened to be there at the same time. And he said, hey, I know you want to leave your job. I'm starting a company. Maybe you can kind of help me do that. I was also thinking about getting an MBA as well. He was like, this will help you kind of get, you know, get a better chance of maybe getting in. So I actually quit, went, kind of lived in his parents' basement for like 9 months or so. We did this company that was kind of a Groupon, like a daily deal site. It's more female focused. Jumped in, we had some success and ultimately it failed. I realized I didn't have like a ton of, it was the wrong business to be in. And we had like a great team and everything. I didn't personally have like too many, relevant skills for like that type of company. So that failed. The same guy kind of went back to his prior career of like being a consultant, like an internet marketing consultant for companies. So he said, you can kind of stay on with me and kind of help me do this stuff. But, you know, given that you just have accounting skills and kind of just basic business skills, you gotta learn some stuff that can be applicable to like what I'm doing. So that would be things like how to run paid ads, how to do social media, how to do anything website related, and then like SEO, for example. So when that transition kind of started, that's when I was like, you know, I got to start teaching myself this kind of stuff. We actually moved down to Austin, Texas at the same time. I started attending a bunch of like internet marketing kind of networking events. One really had an impact on me. There was this guy who was a former truck driver who said that he was making all this money just making websites and then making affiliate money. So I didn't really know what he was talking about, but I kind of heard him talk and he just had a bunch of different niche websites where a writer, he wouldn't even write the content. Some writer would write it for him and then he'd have someone else like build links to his site. So, you know, he would do SEO good because, you know, didn't know what anything that he was talking about really. So I was like, if he can do this, I want to try to do something similar. So that's when my first, like, I guess side hustle started. I had just taken the GMAT, which is like the test you got to take to get into business school. And so I saw that there were terms like how to study for the GMAT or like how to study for this section, like how to get into business school. So I was like, I can write all this content and then do SEO and then people come to my site and then I can sell these books that I'm recommending through Amazon essentially. So it all seemed to make sense to me. Then I started a couple other sites as well that didn't really take off. And so I actually started gaining traction with the site and it started ranking number one or number two for all these terms that I was trying to rank for. So it was like kind of like this great success. I kept telling people like how amazing it was to make like $50 a day, like on the side, for example. Then one day in, I believe it was March or April, like the biggest Google update of like all time happened. It was called like the Penguin update. And it just like destroyed all of my traffic. And it just, in one fell swoop overnight, just all went away.
What happened with that? Like would they change?
I had no idea that what I was doing was considered kind of spammy. I would get like certain types of links. I would like pay like freelancers who'd say, I can get you these types of links to your site, blah, blah, blah. And what this update did was just kind of targeted those types of links. So like ones that you can just like pay for or someone can just like spam like 1,000 comment links like to your site. So like anyone who's like deep in SEO, if they were around that time, that was like, you know, this tectonic shift in the SEO industry. And so whole businesses were just wiped out if they, you know, inadvertently or intentionally had done certain types of like SEO tactics. Again, if I'd known that this was like not what Google wanted me to do, then I probably wouldn't have done it, obviously. So that was my first side hustle was just like it was glorious for like, you know, 5-6 months or so. And then just like immediately disappeared over one night because of this Google update. So I got really dejected and I was like, I don't know if I can kind of put myself through that again, or maybe I don't know enough in order to produce long-term like side hustle results or just making money off the internet. So I did end up getting an MBA. And so I kind of put this kind of stuff to the side. And then my second year of business school, I met my now business partner named Kenny, and he actually had almost the exact same experience that I did. He was in finance, and then he started his own internet company, and it basically got destroyed with the same Google update, actually. And he decided to just keep going, and he started these other sites, and he was doing it pretty well, actually, and I was kind of fascinated. Just like content websites where you just do SEO and get traffic to the site. You'd either sell ads or do like through affiliate relationships, sell someone's products basically. So we got together, I kind of learned more about his process and learned a lot more about SEO and the things that I had been doing like not as well. And we also were like pretty good at running paid ads from like my experience, like working as a consultant. And we started doing that for some companies and we were like, hey, why don't we just, you know, go into business together and just like make some sort of company out of these types of skills. So we started out, we were just like a consulting shop as well. We would just do SEO or paid ads or social media marketing for companies, local businesses, a few startups in New York as well. And then our goal was to take all that money and then build our own properties. So build like these big content sites where eventually they'll make money and then we wouldn't have to kind of be a consultant anymore, because we learned that we didn't want to have like real jobs and we didn't want to kind of be consultants really anymore. We just kind of wanted to work on our own time. And so we thought we were really good at SEO at that point in time, started having some success. We tried a bunch of different ideas. The one that actually started our first big success was this one called Mattress Clarity. So we kind of had a feeling that the mattress space was going to shift to online, and that has been the case. So if there's more and more companies coming out selling directly to you online, there's going to be more and more people searching for information on like what's going to be the best mattress for them. So we kind of rode the wave of like this big shift of like the mattress industry going from just buying at like a mattress firm to having like 50 different options online directly. And so that site has been taking off since like 2015 or so. It's been doing real good, and we kind of leveraged that business model to go into some other niches as well. So now we have two kind of sleep mattress sites. One's called Barbend as well, which is in the general fitness space, but more for people who do strength sports, so like CrossFit, weightlifting, powerlifting, that type of thing. And then we also have one called Security Baron, which is home security, smart home, anything security or safety or like kind of tech related. We're in those niches as well. And so now our company, we were able to not be a consultant anymore, and we were able to just kind of work on our own websites.
Nice. Can you break that down a little bit and give people some insight? You can pick either one of the four sites for an example, but just kind of break down how one of those sites makes money and maybe give an idea of the magnitude.
Sure. So we can take this first one, Mattress Clarity. We have a website and a YouTube channel. So there's a few different ways that we make money. The YouTube channel, you just make money from YouTube ads. So those little ads that show up before each video, if it's your video, then you can make money that way. And so that's a pretty small percentage, but you know, as your channel grows, you'll make more money. Also, you can just have AdSense ads. So we have like a sidebar sometimes in our content, it'll just be like a normal Google ad. So if you go on like any sort of online publication, that's like a lot of how they monetize their traffic. We've done some sponsored content as well. So if we're just talking about a general like sleep concept, we can say, hey, this was sponsored by this one company, and they'll just pay, you know, it's all like clearly labeled as sponsored content. So that's another kind of small way to make money. Then it's also, we'll make money just through like affiliate relationships. So we will recommend certain mattresses, and if someone like clicks on one of our links, that'll be tracked and you can make money that way as well. So it's probably like 2/3 like affiliate stuff, and then 1/3 like all the other stuff that I mentioned as well.
Right. So how much does like one of these mattresses sell for, and like what percentage like commission do they maybe typically pay?
So it's anywhere from, there's some that are only like $300 up to the, you know, super high end ones that are like 3,000. It can be anywhere from like 5 to 10%. Sometimes it's just like done on like a per click basis as well. So it's like kind of runs the full gamut as far as like, you know, how expensive it is and like percentages and like what you could possibly get paid per click. So I guess in general, our concept is we would only enter a space if we thought there was like a lot of people searching for something. And then if that thing that they're searching for costs a lot of money, if you're an affiliate marketer and you get 5% of something that's like a dollar, you're not going to be able to make a company out of it. But if it's like $2,000, then for the same amount of work, you're going to make that much more money. So either we can build this like massive audience where we're selling lots of stuff for a little bit of money, or like there's this high ticket purchase price on what we're talking about.
Gotcha. So when I think about a mattress website, creating content around that doesn't sound too thrilling to me. So like what is the process for like the content creation look like to build out a site like this? Cause I know there's probably some people listening and maybe they're new to this type of business model and how you can monetize sites like this. Although they've probably been on websites like this. So can you give us some insight into what goes into building out a content website for mattresses, for example?
Yeah. So I think our specific niche is one of the most logistically difficult ones. There are some sites where they actually won't like physically receive the mattress, but we actually will have them shipped to us, and we'll make really nice YouTube videos, and we can show off every kind of aspect of it. The problem there is just the logistics of like getting these giant things like in your house and storing them, and then what do you do after, that type of thing. So it'd be much easier to review like supplements where you can just have them all in like your closet. So it's very logistically difficult. And so part of like our hustle is just like figuring out what to do with all these mattresses all the time. So the review process is what we'll see, like what products are out there, what products are new. We'll either reach out to the companies, or sometimes they reach out to us. They'll send us the product. We'll shoot a video, and then we'll edit it, make it look really nice. And then just kind of, we have a pretty comprehensive like review process to make sure that we kind of hit everything that someone wants to look at. As far as like, you know, people might think, oh, reviewing match lists is boring, as he kind of alluded to. I think that's definitely a threat. So if we're doing a YouTube video, we try to make it as, you know, entertaining as it possibly can, given the nature of mattresses. So we spend a lot of time looking at like YouTube analytics to see like, oh, if I talk about this, people get bored and like half of them drop off. And if I switch it this way, then we can get people to kind of watch our video for a little bit longer. So you're definitely right that people probably don't want to watch like 30 minutes of like one mattress review. So we get that it possibly could be boring.
I was actually thinking about it like from your side, like from the content creator standpoint, like okay. Like writing a bunch of blogs about mattresses and things like that. So like, do you guys do that internally? Do you have a team that helps with that?
Yeah. We do. So with mattresses specifically, yeah, I mean, that's a threat. There's only so many different types of materials that could be layered in only so many different combinations. So like the total number of things that you could say about a mattress, it's kind of limited. So, you know, I've just been in it for so long. I'm actually more interested in it than I ever thought I could be. But I can see that you thinking that would be a threat, that it might be boring on the content creation side. But, you know, we try to have as much fun as we possibly can.
Gotcha. So do you guys have like content writers and things like that on a team?
We do.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Has it always been like that from the very beginning, or were you at one point writing articles?
I started the company, just me and Kenny, my business partner, and we literally did everything ourselves. And just as we were able to make some money, we were just kind of slowly added in like a video person and our first writer and like a designer. So it was like a very tough first couple of years where we were just kind of working like 100-hour weeks, just like around the clock, doing like pretty much everything. It's like I didn't have like a ton of experience writing, for example, or being on camera or like really anything like that. Just had to just do it basically.
Yeah. So when you look at when you started this site, because I think you said you started it in 2015, you know, fast forward we're coming up basically 4 full years and then going into 2020 soon. Has anything changed as far as the process from when you were building these sites out and what was getting traffic in 2015 versus like what's getting traffic in 2019 going into 2020?
Yeah, I think Google comes up with updates to their algorithm all the time. The past 2 years, they've seemed to have really targeted generally health-related sites. So there's one update that people call it the medic update, because like the majority of the sites, it was a pretty big shift, the majority of the sites that got hit or like affected were like generally in the health kind of space. So we were kind of lumped into that category. And so I think we have to kind of over invest in the quality and like the ways that we tell people how you can trust us. So like in some cases, if we're writing about sleep, we may have like a sleep doctor review the content, for example. So there's a bunch of like extra steps that we have to do now that we didn't have to do in 2015. Just to kind of add certain layers of trust to our website to make sure that we'll like continue to rank well and get traffic like going forward.
So for somebody like just starting out that they might want to start some type of niche site, like what does the process look like for even like figuring out what to start in? So I know you started out in mattresses, then you said you got into like the fitness website barbin.com, and then you got into securitybaron.com, which is like the security systems and automation stuff. So maybe talk about like what was your process for picking those?
Yeah, so I think we look at a few things. So if we thought, if you can rank well in this niche, you can make a lot of money. That's great. But if there's like 30 like venture backed websites like that are filled in the top 30 results, then it's going to be like almost impossible for you to gain traction. So you're trying to find that combination of where you can see search data from like a number of tools that Google provides. You can say like this search term is searched 30,000 times a month. This is 10,000 times a month, et cetera, et cetera. So you can kind of get a general sense of how much traffic you could get if you happen to be like on the top of Google for all those terms. And then we just think, again, is there some sort of like big ticket item being purchased, or is like our traffic going to be so massive that maybe it's like only like $50, whatever the product that's going to be purchased is, but we're going to have like 20 million visitors, for example. So like Barben, for example, there's no like huge purchase that's being made, but we feel like just like general strength and fitness content, we can potentially get the biggest audience out of all of our sites. And so we were more willing to go into that despite the fact that people aren't making these like massive purchases, like a security system or a mattress. So it's basically, can you get a lot of traffic and then like is someone making a purchase for like a higher ticket amount, or is the traffic going to be so much that maybe it's not as high of a ticket amount, but it's at least like $50 to $100. So you can make money that way. And then balancing that with just our SEO experience, knowing how hard it would be to become number one or number two. So like a lot of niches we've looked at have kind of checked off all the boxes. Like you could say, oh, the top like credit card review sites make, you know, millions and millions of dollars, but they're also like venture backed and they have like 10 person SEO teams. And it's just going to be impossible to, unless you raise like $50 million or something like that. So we wouldn't go into industries like that. Having said this, we tried a lot of other industries where it just like didn't happen to work out. Like we tried one in luggage, for example. We saw a bunch of companies raising money. Now there's one called Away Luggage that's doing really well, but a bunch of other startups just like kind of fizzled out. So we thought this was going to be like the next mattress industry where literally everyone was just going to buy luggage online and we'd be like the only site to kind of do really nice videos and review different pieces of luggage. It just kind of didn't turn out to be the opportunity that we thought it was going to be. So
when something like that happens, do you leave it up or do you shut it down?
That one I think is still up. Actually, we gave it to like a friend who said he wanted to. I was like, here you go. Sounds good. So I think that one's still up. We had a couple other supplement ones that just like didn't quite take off. We had one that we actually sold in 2016 that was like kind of a mini success. That was like reviewing a bunch of different like devices and ways to like stop snoring. We're not going to just keep something up. We'll either like give it to someone or just not worry about it because we don't want to pay for like hosting and all that kind of stuff. Not that it's that expensive, but we also don't want all our failures to be still on the internet for everyone to see.
Have you guys sold any sites?
We sold this one, this snoring one, and that's it so far. I think, you know, potentially we could, I mean, at some point we'll sell our sites. It's just a question of like what that will look like and, you know, when we feel like that's a good opportunity for us.
Yeah. Are there, if you're willing to share any insight, is there any trends that you see possible like going into 2020 here that people could capitalize on building sites around?
Yeah, I would just say probably the importance of YouTube. So like if I were going to jump into a category, I would maybe just start by creating a YouTube channel and not even worrying about the site first. So we've seen, at least with mattresses, people are kind of skipping Google altogether and just searching directly on YouTube. And then with YouTube, people will see like the suggested videos on the side or like what's called browse features, like the videos that they suggest for you on your homepage. And you can really create a massive audience just from YouTube alone. And so you don't have to have all the SEO knowledge. You can also gain a lot of traction very quickly, which like if you're doing SEO, you have a content website, it may take a year or two to really gain traction. So that's like a huge difference of being able to get a bunch of views in like the first 3 to 6 months versus taking 2 years to get a bunch of traffic with Google. So I think potentially if you really like a certain category, you want to potentially investigate it, I would consider just going the YouTube route first. And then if you gain a bunch of traction, having a great YouTube channel is going to help your SEO efforts like by a lot. So that would be kind of my advice if someone's looking to get into like a review kind of concept or just any sort of concept, like content concept, I would say if YouTube is applicable, like whatsoever, I would probably go that route first.
I think YouTube probably scares a lot of people just because of like the barrier to entry, like the production value and things like that. Are there any tips you can give somebody to kind of get into the game on YouTube without like breaking the bank or without like crazy video editing skills and stuff?
Yeah. So we now have a team that does that. So we're just paying for like the good stuff. But I mean, it depends on what you do. There's some people that just have like, they just dress up. They have like a pretty standard equipment that won't cost more than like a few $100s. And they'll have like a whiteboard like behind them. I've seen like, I'm into like personal finance. So there's this new guy that he has like a massive audience and like his production quality, like he probably didn't spend more than like $1,000 on like all of the equipment. And like the editing doesn't really need to be that crazy at all. Don't really need any sort of crazy graphics or anything like that. So like depending on what you're doing, it can be like not that expensive and you can just learn like basic editing. If you're doing like full reviews of certain products, you may need like a team or at least like outsourced editing. But I would say for at least half the stuff that you want to do, like you probably don't really need to spend too much money actually.
Nice. What type of like frequency are you posting on YouTube?
So on our mattress sites, 5 to 7 videos a week, believe it or not. With our security one, I think it's 4 videos a week, and Bar Ben's about 4 videos a week as well.
Nice. What's the length on these?
So an average mattress review will be about 10 minutes. Our security ones are about 15 minutes on average. And the Bar Ben ones, we do like teach you how to do certain like lifts, and those will be like 5 minutes long and others. So that'll be a little bit shorter. So I would say like across all our channels, probably an average of 10 minutes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you guys bulk record?
No, usually like down here, we say like, I'm going to film on Wednesday morning and afternoons. So it's usually just kind of a set schedule and no real bulk recording. So just kind of every Wednesday I'll do 2 videos and this other person will do 2 videos on Tuesday and just kind of set up that way.
So I know what everybody that's listening right now is thinking, like, how the hell are you putting out like 5 to 7 videos a week on mattresses? Like, what is that content process or content idea process look like?
So, you know, we don't just do mattresses. So we'll review like sheets, pillows, mattress toppers, weighted blankets. So now we have this special beanbag chair called the Moon Pod that's like $400 that we're about to. So like kind of one-off projects like that. So those opportunities are actually pretty vast. And then we'll do like informational content as well. It's like, here's like the effect of alcohol on sleep and we'll kind of go into the science behind it. So if it's anything like sleep related, or we'll tell you like how to fold a fitted sheet. So that'll be a video as well. So surprisingly, there's like a pretty large like kind of library of content that we can produce. I'm sure that it will shock people if I tell them 5 to 7 videos. Yeah.
I know on a website, it's pretty easy to comprehend like how you drive people to the affiliate product, right? You're writing about it. You've got links embedded throughout the article, things like that. Pictures are, you know, clickable links, all that kind of stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about on the YouTube side, like how do you get people to the product so that you can then be attributed that sale?
Sure. So that's a little bit harder. I mean, we do have links like in the YouTube description. So I think a lot of people will say, hey, make sure you check the description. We'll have like a special discount for you or something like that. So I think short of just like begging people in the middle of the video, hey, like click this link, you know, that's not what people want to see. But if you just say something subtle, like, hey, there's a lot of great information down in the description. We have like, you know, discount available for you, et cetera. That's about the only way that you can do it without appearing like overly salesy, essentially.
Yeah. Nice. So you're just putting out really good content and then directing people down to the description area to find your link to click through.
Yeah. And that's always a balance on your site as well. We could have links like all over the page and that would just be a bad experience. But at the same time, like you don't want to go out of business. So you have to have some. So there's like kind of a balance of providing the best experience possible where everyone still trusts that, you know, you're legit and you're not just trying to sell them something while at the same time making sure that people, at least some percentage, will actually click on something. So that's a fine balance that we're always like kind of debating.
What are the factors that are making your videos? So like on a website, right? You mentioned earlier, you want to be like towards the top of the first page, right? If you want to get the most visibility, how do you start to rank videos on YouTube, like for your type of content? Like what kind of strategies are you doing to get that up?
So with YouTube, it's just like completely different from like website SEO. So it's all about how long, like on average, people watch your videos, like what percentage of the video people will watch. So if you have a 10-minute video and people only watch the first 10 seconds, that's a very honest signal that your video is probably not good. So we call it, they call it audience retention, or like average watch time. Like those two metrics kind of are pretty much the same. So you want to have, people think that having longer videos is good, but you just want to make sure that people aren't dropping off after 2 or 3 minutes or so. So that's very big. And then just getting engagement. So getting people to like your videos, to comment, getting subscribers, things of that nature. So it's like kind of this like audience retention, like basically a quality of a video kind of signal, and then just like engagement. So if there's a video that gets zero comments and zero likes, that's an honest signal that it's, people don't really care too much about it. And then there's other things you can do, like write a full YouTube description, like call your title a certain thing. And then there are tags that you can put on the video to make sure that it's as relevant to what you're trying to rank well for. But yeah, those are the main things. And so like with website SEO, there's like 200 ranking factors and it's kind of a black box and no one quite knows exactly what to do. YouTube, it's a lot easier to figure out. You also want to have like really good thumbnails as well. So if you have a very attractive thumbnail and people see that on the side, they click on it and then they spend 70% of the video, like on average, then that's a very good sign that people click on it and they liked it. And that's what YouTube is like trying to see, essentially.
Gotcha. That makes sense. When you first, I'm just curious about the whole YouTube thing. So when you first release the content, say somebody's just starting out that YouTube channel, it's not going to be anywhere near the first search result. So like, what do you recommend when somebody would like just be starting out a channel? How would you even get the first people to that video?
So yeah, I wouldn't. Like, let's say we're reviewing products, I would try to find the smaller products that maybe no one has reviewed. Just like we call like long tail keywords, like ones that aren't searched as much, basically. And then just try to build it up from there. So
do you recommend any software or anything for the keyword research?
There's a million out there. There's one called like Keywords Everywhere. There's like Uber Suggest. I don't know if I have one that I like better than the others. They're all pretty much the same, actually.
Gotcha. Yeah, I personally have the Keywords Everywhere Chrome extension installed, which is pretty useful. So I'll link that down in the show notes if anybody's interested in downloading that. Cool. Nice, man. So what do you see changing as we go into the new year and beyond? Are there any like big trends that are shifting in your industry? Google dropping any new updates, anything that's going to kind of shake up the game, create opportunity?
Yeah, I think from what I've seen as far as the updates that Google's come out with have been concerned with. So SEO in general is typically just been like who gets the most number of good links to their site. And it seems like Google's kind of shifting away from that because that's something that can be gamed, and that's something Google's always trying to fight against, like gaming the system. And so things like having the best brand, for example, having the best YouTube channel, that's hard to fake. And so I think those types of things are going to be more important. So we're just like kind of over-investing in the quality of like everything that we do. And we're not trying to kind of use old school methods of just getting a bunch of links to our site. And so if I had one prediction, it would just be, like whoever has the best brand will probably win going forward. So we just try to make sure our site's designed really well. We have really good YouTube videos, and we have a good presence like off of our website. So people really respect and like look for our band over others.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate you sharing that insight there. Where can people check out your websites, kind of see what you've built and things like that? Can you mention those out for us? And I'll link them up in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah, so we have Mattress Clarity. That's just mattressclarity.com. There's sleepopolis.com, barbend, barbend.com, and then securitybaron.com. That name, I don't know where it came from. We just kind of had to come up with the name, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah. And for somebody interested in this type of content, are there any like resources and things like that that you can recommend for like how people can kind of get their foot in the door?
So honestly, I think I spent 2 years or so just kind of like following gurus and like making mistakes based on what they told me. And so I just kind of like learned from the school of hard knocks. So people would recommend stuff to me and then I would kind of get burned by it. So I'm like almost hesitant to do so. I just think like with something like SEO or YouTube, you just kind of got to get into it and just know that like, just don't try to game the system. And just kind of keep learning each month and trying out different things rather than like taking the advice of someone who's like selling you, like telling you, you're going to be this amazing SEO if you just spend $1,000 on my course or whatever. So that's kind of my advice. So I think I paid for probably like 100 different info products related to internet marketing, and maybe like one or two were like really good. And like, I probably regretted the other 98.
That's hilarious. Yeah. There's a bunch of crap out there. That's for sure, man. Yeah. So Joe, I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing about your journey, how you kind of got into this content, really into content marketing space, creating content sites, driving traffic, making money, getting into YouTube, leveraging that to really diversify your traffic is what it sounds like. So appreciate you sharing that journey, that strategy, how you're doing it, what you see coming forward in 2020. It's all really good insights. Everything that Joe talked about below, it'll all be linked up in the show notes. If you want to check that out, just scroll down to the show notes. And Joe, appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks for having me again.
All right. Love it.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.